just one thing I wanted to share is actually, I love springtime. One thing I love about springtime is when you go through winter, you see basically everything dead. The grass is dead. Nothing's growing on the trees. It's like a place of deadness. And then when spring comes, like you look outside, you see the green on the trees and you see all the new buds coming up. And it reminds me of, hey, even though a place can appear to be dead, there can be life. So the topic I was going to talk about for a few minutes was from death to life. And Jason sang that song today. And I wanted to share a few minutes about that and how it relates to baptism. So let's go to Luke 15. I'm going to share about the prodigal son to start. Luke 15. So we'll start off in verse 11. And Jesus said, a man had two sons. The youngest of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. So he divided his wealth between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country, and there he squandered his estate with loose living. So I think that picture represents someone living in sin, separated from God, wanting to live for themselves. So he just went to this other country and he was living, you could basically say he was dead. He was living apart from God. Verse 14, when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in the country and he began to become impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to the citizens of the country, and he sent him to the fields to feed swine. And he gladly would have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, but no one was giving anything to him. So if we pause for a moment and think about that, so sometimes terrible things can happen in the world and to unbelievers, but oftentimes it can be the mercy of God. Like if you look at this example here, this guy is dead, he's living for himself, and then circumstances happen that there's a famine in the land, he loses everything, and he's put in this terrible position. And what does it do? It pushes him to seek God. That's actually that's an indication of God's mercy. So let's see what happens here. Verse 17. It says, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. So this to me is a picture of repentance. When we repent, it's a turning away from sin and it's a turning to the Lord. And we see this person here, this young man, he's living in sin, he's living in a country, he's wasting everything his father gave him. Circumstances cause him to lose everything and to realize he needs to turn to the Lord. And what does he do? He turns, he said he repents and he's going to go to his father with a plan. That to me is a picture of repentance, when we turn from our sin and we actually turn to the Lord. So verse 20, he gets up and he goes to his father. But when he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. So when I was thinking about that, how could the father see him when he was a long way off? Obviously, the father had to be looking for him. So think about this. The father's son has gone off. He's wasting everything with loose living. And the father is watching for him to repent and turn. And I was just thinking, imagine if this is a picture of God's love for us. When we're in our sins, when we're separated from God, God is watching for us to turn and repent. And he's wanting us to repent. And look at this. The father felt compassion for him, ran and embraced him and kissed him. What a picture of the love God wants to show toward us. When we turn to repent, God is waiting to forgive us. It's an amazing picture. So verse 21, the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. So when you repent, you actually acknowledge that you're a sinner and you need a savior. And we see here, the son is acknowledging he's a sinner, and he basically says, I'm no longer worthy to be your son. Like, I've sinned, I've stumbled. That's a really good picture. When we fall, we acknowledge our sin and we turn back to the Lord. Verse 22, the father said to his slaves, quickly, bring out the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf, kill it, let us eat and celebrate. For the son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and he has been found, and they began to celebrate. So here we first see from death to life. The son of mine was dead, he has come to life again. And they began to celebrate. It says in verse 7 of the same chapter, Jesus said, "There will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous who need no repentance." When a sinner turns to the Lord, there's rejoicing in heaven. What a wonderful picture that is. And not only that, the son expected he would go back and he would become like a hired person. He basically figured, well, maybe the father will take me back. Maybe I can be a slave for him instead. The father puts a ring on his finger. He puts a robe on him. And he basically says, you're my son. You get everything a son can have. And that also is a picture to me. When we become a child of God, we're an heir with Christ. And what does it say in Ephesians? We're seated with him in the heavenlies. That's another amazing picture when we're forgiven what God wants to do for us. So I just want to turn to Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll continue the same thought there. Ephesians 2, verse 1. It says, "You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we also formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of our flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." So if we pause there, this is a picture as well in my mind of this young man who was living far away from God with loose living. He was dead in his sins. And all of us were in that position. What does it say? It says we all lived in that way, and we were all children of wrath. We were all in that place, the same place as this young man. But look at verse 4. Verse 4 in my Bible starts with "but." That's a wonderful word. We were dead in our sins, but. What does it say? "God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved. And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ." So even when we were dead in our sins, because of God's great love for us, he brought us from a place of death to life. And not only that, he raised us up with him and seated us with him with Christ. We're sons of God, and we have that inheritance in heaven. It's an amazing thing to think about. But not only that, let's look at verse 7. Why also did he save us? The story doesn't end there. It's verse 7. "So in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." Think about that for a moment. God desires to show kindness to us, not only in this life, but in the life to come. It's an amazing thing. God wants us to show us his kindness. And I think if we slow down for a little bit in life, sometimes life can go by so fast we don't even notice. But I think if we can slow down, we can actually see God's kindness toward us each day. And I think it's good for us to notice. God desires to show us his kindness every day. And I think that I'm encouraged to want to seek that every day. So let's, one more section here. Let's go to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 19. So we saw in the prodigal son, the prodigal son repented, and he turned to the Lord, or he turned to his father, and his father forgave him and welcomed him back in his house. There's one more aspect of that when we want to move from death to life, and let's look at that in John chapter 5. Verse 19, Jesus answered and said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the father doing. For whatever the father does, these things the son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing, and the Father will show him greater works than these, so that you will marvel. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son will also give life to whom he wishes. For not even the Father judges anyone, but has given all judgment to the Son, so that all will honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him." So here's verse 24. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life." So I wanted to again pause there. How do we pass from death to life? We hear his word and believe him. So I would just wanted to focus on that for a moment. Hearing God's word is so important. It says elsewhere, faith comes from hearing the word of God. It's so important for us to be in God's word, hearing his word, because that will build faith. And not only that, but we need to believe God. The whole world and the whole system of the world we're in is trying to create unbelief in our heart. All these things in the world will distract us and try to make us not take our eyes off the Lord. The Lord wants us to be in his word and believe him who sent us. Believe him who sent Jesus. And when we do that, we've passed from death into life. And that one last thing, I think it's one of the biggest dangers in our walk is having a heart of unbelief. So I think we need to be in God's word and hearing his promises and believing them to protect ourselves against that. So Grace is going to get baptized today. And I'm really, really happy that she wants to show her desire to follow Jesus and make that commitment in front of everyone. But how does from death to life tie into baptism? So I wanted to look at Romans chapter 6. And I'll just read a few verses here. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Should we continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we also might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, we will certainly be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from his sin. So I think the picture of baptism, when Grace goes under the water, her old man, her old person is dead under the water. And then when we bring her up out of the water, that represents her new life. And she can then walk in newness of life by the Lord's grace. So it's actually quite a neat picture. Like it's a wonderful thing to think of, that God, we're now welcomed as God's child, and God desires to shower love and kindness on us through our whole life, and not only in this life but in the next life. And not only that, but God provides us his abundant grace so that we can reign in life and walk in newness of life. So I think the picture of baptism is a wonderful thing to think about, that we can move from a place of death to life. And I think we should just worship God when we see this, his wonderful plan of salvation. So one last thought, 1 John. In 1 John, the book of 1 John was written to young men. It was written to children, and it was written to fathers. In other words, it was written to all of us. 1 John was written to all of us, all believers. So there's just a couple of verses here. One question is, how do we know we have passed from death into life? Let's look at John. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. John says, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. So one encouragement for Grace and for all of us is the Lord wants us to love one another. As we love one another, that actually will prove to us that we've been passed from death into life. And then if we look at verse 23 of chapter 3, John says, this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. So when we come to the Lord, initially we believe in him, but the Lord wants us to continue to believe in him every day. And just to close there, I was just thinking to myself, what could that look like? Well, you could be going through a very hard time in life, and you could know the verse that says, God works all things for good. Or what can separate us from the love of God? Like, you could tell yourself those verses, and if you choose to believe it, no matter what the circumstances, I think that's one practical way we can believe God. All his promises, we need to believe them no matter what the circumstance. So anyways, just wanted to share those things.